Welcome. This is Body, Mind, Spirit Radio's presentation of Journeys in Wellness. This is a monthly show that comes to you live the first Thursday of every month, and this is no exception. This is the seventh day of February 2013. We have a wonderful, wonderful topic and a great show lined up for you today. Martha Dana, our host, is going to be talking today all about healthy heart. We've even got a wonderful recipe coming your way, so stay tuned, and without any further ado, here's your host for Journeys in Wellness, Martha Dana.
Good evening, listeners, and thanks for journeying with me tonight on Journeys in Wellness. If you're listening live, please call with your questions or comments. Grab a pen and pencil and jot down these two phone numbers. Toll-free is 877-497-2931. That's 877-497-2931 or 646-378-0378. As Annette mentioned, this is February 7th, 2013, and if you are listening to this live, I hope you will call in with your questions or comments. And this month's topic is healthy hearts. Joining me this evening is Sarah Marcus with another delicious and nutritious recipe. And at this point, I'd like to mention that Journeys in Wellness is adding another set of pages to the website. That website is journeysinwellness.com. And these new pages are specifically for the recipes, those that we share on the show and some that we don't have time to share on the show, but we think you, the listener, would enjoy. The URL for the recipes is deliciousandnutritiousrecipes.com. Look for those pages later this month. Healthy heart is a topic that's appropriate for February since this is Valentine's Day, and it's also heart month. So for many years, doctors and other healthcare professionals have been telling us to lower our cholesterol levels, to eat less fat, to eat less saturated fat, and to keep our cholesterol levels under 200 in order to reduce our risk of heart disease and our risk of strokes. Over the past few years, and increasingly the past 2 years, more and more studies have emerged which challenge, or rather debunk, this erroneous connection between cholesterol and heart disease, between cholesterol and stroke risk. One of the studies published in the prestigious New England Journal of Medicine in November of 2011 reports, the title of this study is, "Niacin Lowers Cholesterol, but Does Not Lower the Risk of Heart Disease or Stroke." And by the way, I'm sure most of you know, niacin is vitamin D3. This study has traditional medicine rethinking the assumptions that high cholesterol, in particular high LDL, which is sometimes called the bad cholesterol, and low HDL, which is sometimes called the good cholesterol, that this combination increases risk of heart disease and increases risk of stroke. In fact, this study was undertaken by NIH. NIH is the National Institute of Health, which is one of the world's foremost medical research centers and an agency of the U.S. Department of Health. The NIH actually halted this big study in the middle of the study because of the results that it was getting. This study involved more than 3,400 patients with cardiovascular disease. These patients lowered their LDL cholesterols using statin with niacin or using statins with placebo. And this study went on for 32 months. The niacin increased the HDL good cholesterol and lowered the LDL bad cholesterol, which was the purpose of using this drug combination. However, it did not reduce the number of heart attacks. It did not reduce the number of strokes. It did not reduce the number of hospitalizations for other types of heart problems. And this, of course, is making traditional medicine rethink this connection between cholesterol, heart disease, and stroke, or rather, the lack of connection between cholesterol, heart disease, and stroke. Some of the benefits of niacin are undisputed. Niacin is effective in lowering cholesterol. Niacin protects against dementia and is associated with a slower rate of cognitive decline. And niacin benefits people with diabetes by protecting against low levels of HDL. The problem is dissociation or lack of association between cholesterol and heart disease and cholesterol and strokes. This is just an invalid association. There are numerous studies that confirm this, and these list of studies will be posted on the website for people who want to read the studies for themselves or are interested in reading them or learning more about them. You go to the website, journeysinwellness.com, click on the topics tab, and then pick the particular topic that you're interested in. Or you can choose the Contact Me tab, complete it with your contact information, and you'll get a personal response with your questions, comments, or issues. So I encourage you to visit the website and to use these postings. Some of the other studies that confirm that cholesterol and heart disease are not associated, in February of 2000, published in the Journal of Clinical Nutrition, was a study performed by Harvard Medical School. And more recently, December 2nd, 2012, Stanford Medical School published an international study that points to inflammation as a cause of plaque buildup in heart disease. That's inflammation. Published a day later, December 3rd in 2012, in Nature Genetics, there was a large gene study which links plaque and heart disease to inflammation. And the American Heart Association Journal states that heart disease, formerly considered a lipid or cholesterol disease, is actually an ongoing inflammatory response. Now, I'm sure that most of you have heard of that little baby aspirin that we're all supposed to be taking every day, that is supposed to reduce our risk of heart disease. Well, aspirin is actually an anti-inflammatory agent. And so taking that aspirin is reducing the inflammation. And that's the association between inflammation and heart disease that we're seeing. That's just one example. Another example is laboratory testing for risk of heart disease. One of the popular tests currently is called a high-sensitivity C-reactive protein, and this is done very commonly on people to assess their risk for heart disease. And C-reactive protein is very simply a nonspecific protein that rises during inflammation so that the level correlates with the level of inflammation. So using C-reactive protein test as a cardiac risk assessment is simply a nonspecific test for inflammation. So many of you may be asking, what exactly is inflammation? We all have experienced it, the redness, the fever, the soreness that sometimes accompanies a cut or some other body problem. Okay, inflammation is our body's natural way of protecting itself against harmful pathogens, pathogens like bacteria or viruses and fungi. It also protects us against damaged cells or irritants. These harmful stimuli cause our body's cells in the immediate area to release chemicals, and these chemicals attract even more cells to the area, and that's what causes the redness and the pus in an infection. These cells then release a cascade of chemicals called inflammatory mediators. And while the mediators are very helpful in trying to control a bacteria, the opposite is true when the stimuli is the body's own cells. And in this particular case, just as in heart disease, the disease is caused by the inflammatory mediators. So again, for a more in-depth description and link to the studies, go to the journeysandwellness.com website and click Wellness Topics and the appropriate link, or click Contact Me for a personal response. I would also like to invite you to attend our local meetings in the Southeast Michigan area. The next one is in Ann Arbor at Crazy Wisdom Bookstore next Thursday, February 14th, from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. For more information, again, I refer you to the Journeys in Wellness website or call 877-470-6355. That number again is 877-470-6355. Judy now wants to share with us part of her journey in wellness, and when I return, we will talk about cholesterol and what each of us can do to protect our hearts, and I will also be taking questions and comments. So,
a few years ago, I was working at a very high-stress job, and I had the high blood pressure to go along with it. My blood pressure gave me such an awful headache, I hurried home from work every day to pop the second dose of blood pressure pills and make the headache go away. My friend was very concerned and got out the physician's desk reference and looked up all the side effects of the medications and convinced me to add calcium and trace minerals to my diet. After a few days, my friend telephoned me to see how I was doing, and I told her, "Oh my goodness, it's 4 o'clock." And my slightly sarcastic friend replied, "Oh fine, you've got a college degree and can tell time. I'm impressed." Well, that was the first time I noticed that I had missed my usual 3:30 p.m. headache. I took my blood pressure and I found that it was normal. I continued to check my blood pressure and began weaning myself off the medications. I still monitor my blood pressure and I take my calcium, OsteoFX Plus, and trace minerals daily. I'm Judy and this is my journey in wellness. A few years ago, I was working at a very high-stress job, and I had the high blood
Okay, well, thanks to Judy for sharing that piece of her journeys in wellness. And as you heard, she had high blood pressure and was able to manage it nutritionally. It looks like we have a call from Elizabeth right now. Let's get Elizabeth on the line. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello. Hi. Well, I have a question about cholesterol and eggs. I was wondering, I know eggs are an excellent source of protein, but will they increase my cholesterol to a number that's too high? And I was wondering, like, how many eggs would be too many, or how many eggs should a woman eat every day?
Okay, those are very good questions, Elizabeth. First of all, our bodies do need cholesterol. Cholesterol is really important because it maintains our cell wall integrity. It's necessary to produce bile acids, which metabolize fat. It's necessary for our body to convert vitamin C to vitamin D. And it's also the base for our adrenal hormones like cortisol and aldosterone, and it's the base for our sex hormones like the estrogens and testosterone. And our body also needs it to make the glucocorticoids, like what controls inflammation and what controls asthma. So we actually need cholesterol. And keeping our cholesterol below 200 is actually unhealthy for our bodies. There are numerous studies that show that. And an example that I can give you, especially for women, is women athletes who severely restrict their intake of fat and their intake of cholesterol. And frequently, these women will quit having their menstrual cycle because their body cannot make the hormones necessary to continue that cycle. So these are examples of how our body needs cholesterol. Another example that's even more important is the myelin in our brain. Our brain is actually the organ that contains the most cholesterol in our body. And cholesterol is needed for the growth of our brain, the development of our brain, both after we're born and when we're still in utero. It's very necessary. And eggs actually have an ingredient, a nutrient called choline, and that is required for developing brains in utero. So eggs for pregnant women are especially important. And the cholesterol is also important for the maturation and the repair of the brain. So these are all functions of cholesterol in our body. Not having enough cholesterol, I gave you one example of women athletes. Another example is erectile dysfunction. While there can be many different causes of erectile dysfunction, one is a decrease in cholesterol so that the amount of testosterone is not adequate to support these functions. And if you look at the studies that are out there, a lot of them on statins show that people who are on statins, or men who are on statins, women too, because women produce testosterone, but the testosterone levels are greatly decreased when a person is taking statins or when you don't eat enough cholesterol. As far as how many eggs are a good number, Dr. Wallach says he wants all of his patients to eat 6 eggs a day. Are you six eggs is a lot of eggs. But
yes,
trying, I think, to get his point across that our bodies do need cholesterol, and one of the prime sources of that high-quality cholesterol is eggs. So eggs actually have a lot of nutrients in it, both the egg white, which is primarily protein, and the egg yolk, which contains not only cholesterol, but other proteins and other substances that our body needs, like the choline. Eggs are a very important source for healthy bodies. So I hope that answered your questions.
Yes, it did.
Help,
thank
or?
You. And I was wondering, I would like to read some of these studies about the cholesterol and that we need more for the brain. Are you going to link those on your site as well?
Yes, they will be on the JourneysInWellness.com website. One of the tabs on that website says topics, and if you click on the topics tab, it lists the titles of each of the shows that we've had so far, and then under that show will be listed the articles and studies that I talk about and other links for other types of information related to the show that I mentioned. And if what you're looking for isn't there, you can click on the Contact Me tab and list either a phone number, or an email address, or a question, and I'll get back to you. We also have a Facebook page, Journeys in Wellness, and if you put Journeys in Wellness in the search bar on Facebook page, you'll come up with our Facebook page, and you can post comments and questions there as well. And some of your questions would be answered on that particular page. So there's a lot of different ways to do that. We also have a page on the BodyMindSpiritRadio.com. That's our main page. And you can like us on there. You can become a fan on there. And once you become a fan, you can actually post questions and join in the blog and the discussion on the BodyMindSpiritRadio.com Journeys in Wellness page. So I hope that you will choose one or more of those options and continue the discussion.
Yes, I will. And thank you very much for your information. I love your show, very informative. And I'm really intrigued about the Alzheimer's and the connection with cholesterol. So I hope that in a future show you'll address Alzheimer's, because I'm very concerned about that with my mother's aging in her 80s now. And I know my brothers don't want her to eat a lot of cholesterol, so I'm going to, show them these studies. So thank you very much for bringing this information out to the public. I appreciate it. Thank you again.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, Elizabeth. And dementia and Alzheimer's is a topic that we plan on doing later on this year, so I appreciate your suggesting topics, because it's always good to hear what our listeners are interested in so we can address your concerns as well. So thank you so much for calling. And now I'd like to hear from Susan, who has a testimony about her journeys in wellness.
My name is Susan, and here's my story. Several years ago, I slowly started developing a white patch on my skin that kept growing in size on the back of my forearm. Because I preferred to wear half sleeves, the discoloration showed most of the time. I often received questions asking if it were from a burn or something of the like, which I knew it wasn't. After a while, I became more self-conscious as it grew larger and whiter and as people continued to comment on it. I eventually learned that the condition was called vitiligo, which is a lack of pigment in the skin. Fast forward to the last couple of years, I joined Longevity as a distributor. The company publicizes the 90 for Life philosophy, where the keystone product combinations consist of the 90 essential nutrients required for optimum health. When I started using the products that include vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential fatty acids, my sense of well-being increased, and I noticed that the vitiligo seemed to be minimizing. It was hard to tell at first because it was gradual. However, over time, sure enough, the condition was decreasing. Listening to the lectures of Dr. Wallach, Longevity's founder, he taught that vitiligo was due to a copper deficiency. Then I learned that the products included a trace amount of copper, hence the reason for my vitiligo disappearing and my normal skin color returning. While the patch is still discernible, it's significantly reduced, and I have had no comments about the skin patch in a long time, except those noticing the improvement. My name is Susan, and I'm a believer in the power of Longevity products. My name is Susan, and here's my
And thanks to Susan for sharing that part of her journeys in wellness, her description of her vitiligo. Elizabeth brought up some questions about eggs, and also questions about dementia and cholesterol. And there's a few facts I'd like to throw out real quick before we move on. First of all, we were talking about deficiencies in cholesterol and some of the things that they cause. One of the things that's associated with low levels of cholesterol is mental disorders. This includes disorders like ADHD and bipolar, schizophrenia, but it also includes diseases like Parkinson's disease. Respiratory diseases are also associated with low levels of cholesterol and low levels of the essential fatty acids. When elderly people in particular are deficient in cholesterol, there is an increased risk for death, and there's also an increased risk for hemorrhagic stroke. So those are some things to consider when you look at your cholesterol levels. The other thing that Betty asked about were eggs, and eggs have only 70 calories in a large egg, which if you're counting calories or looking for a good source of protein, a good source of a lot of different essential nutrients, eggs are great, especially if you're dieting or looking for inexpensive protein sources. Eggs contain one of the highest quality proteins of any food. In fact, egg protein is the protein to which all other protein is compared for quality. And when we talk about cholesterol in eggs, one of the things that's really important is how you cook your eggs, how you prepare them. So, I know it sounds kind of silly, but I wanted to briefly describe how to boil an egg, because it's very important not to overheat or overcook the eggs, because the cholesterol gets denatured and is not as helpful for your diet. So you want to place the eggs in a saucepan large enough to hold them in a single layer. Cover the eggs with about an inch of water and heat the water and the eggs until just before it boils. So if it boils, actually, you've gone a little bit too far. So you want to turn off the heat right before it boils, and you want to remove the pan from the stove. And this is particularly important if you have an electric stove, because if it stays on that burner, it's going to continue to cook. So you want to remove it from the stove and cover it with a lid. And then you want to let it stand for a period of time depending on the size of an egg. For a medium egg, it needs to stay covered for 9 minutes. A large egg is 12, and an extra large egg is 15. After that time, you want to drain the eggs immediately and cool them completely, either under cold running water or in a bowl of ice water, and then refrigerate them. So the eggs do contain some antioxidants, which prevent macular degeneration. So there's another reason to eat eggs, especially in older people who are facing macular problems. So high antioxidants can reverse some of the symptoms of macular degeneration, and eggs have a very high level of those particular antioxidants. If your egg yolk turns green, it's because of overheating or overcooking, and that's because the sulfur dioxide in the white starts reacting with the iron in the yolk and produces kind of a green layer at that interface where the yolk and the white meet. So just a few little facts about how to cook an egg. And certainly if we're going to be eating a lot of eggs, then we need to have a lot of different recipes. If Dr. Wallach is saying we should be eating 6 eggs a day, most of us do not want to sit down and eat hard-boiled or scrambled or fried eggs. So there are a lot of different ways that you can incorporate eggs into your diet without actually eating an egg. And some of the things that I like to do are to add eggs to my chili so that I poach the egg actually in the chili. And that's really, really good. You can do that with chili or soup or anything like that. Eggs can actually be added to your breakfast oatmeal and stirred in. After you finish cooking the oatmeal, then just take your raw egg and stir it in, and the heat from the oatmeal will actually cook the egg. And since we're talking about recipes, let's bring our next guest on. And I believe this is Sarah. Yep, Sarah's here. So let's invite Sarah to join our show. I know she has a wonderful recipe for today. Sarah, welcome.
Hey, Martha. Good evening, everybody. So, yeah.
How are you this evening?
February is a great month for everything new. It's the beginning of the earliest spring, so it's a great time.
Yeah, I hope you're right about an early spring, because here in Michigan we're under a winter advisory tonight. Depending on what part of Michigan you're in, we're expecting quite a bit of snow. So all of us up here would love an early spring, or at least a warmer day. So I hope you're right about that. So I was telling the listeners a little earlier about our new website, the new URL that's going to be linked to the Journeys in Wellness website, and that's the one called deliciousandnutritiousrecipes.com. So it's not up yet, but it will be very soon. We'll have your picture in a little bio and all of the wonderful recipes and pictures that you've shared with us over our shows the past few months. So I'm very excited about that, and I'm very excited that you're here with another recipe.
Oh, it's very, very gracious of you, and we just appreciate so much that you're getting important information out to people. This is so important. Good health is priceless. So
it is.
This is a way of sharing that through the recipes.
And what recipe do you have for us this evening?
Okay, well, this evening I have the Trick Treat Chocolate Avocado Ice Cream. And with using avocado, it actually, you don't taste the avocado at all as an individual taste. But what is amazing, it adds this velvety richness to the ice cream. So I'm going to go ahead and just read out the recipe and the brief, instructions. 2 cups of whipping cream, heavy if you can, 2 cups of condensed sweetened milk, 12 triple treat chocolates, melted, and 3 plant-derived mineral caps opened, and you empty it into the blender, 1/2 a cup of honey, and 2 cups of frozen avocado. And you just go ahead and blend all the ingredients. It only takes like a minute, maybe 2 minutes at most, and the blender will stop. And you just pour it into a freezer plastic bin and let it set 24 hours, and then you can serve it. I love putting in an extra square of the triple treat chocolate on top. And because it has so much of the triple treat chocolate and the mineral caps, you can actually feel the antioxidants as you're eating your serving. It makes about 8 dessert servings. So,
okay. You mentioned the triple treat chocolate has antioxidants in it?
Yes. Each square of our Youngevity triple treat chocolate is over 16,000 auric points per piece.
Wow.
So, you know, you're talking 12 pieces. So you're getting about a square and a half per serving for each serving. And,
wow.
You know, you really feel that rush of, like, oxygen in the blood when you're eating the ice cream. It just feels like fresh air. I mean, you really feel that high energy come in. And that's because of the dark chocolate and all the antioxidants within it with, you know, the mushrooms and the blueberries concentrate that's in the dark chocolate. So,
now, doesn't the triple treat chocolate also have probiotics in it?
Yes, it does. So this is perfect with a cold dessert right after your meal to have the probiotics, because it hasn't been cooked per se. You can melt that chocolate either lightly in the microwave, or what a lot of people do if they don't want to use the microwave, they double boil it. So you just boil up that water and put a bowl on top and set that chocolate there. And as soon as it starts melting, you take it off and just stir it up and spatula it into the blender. So it's not even heated per se. So you get the full benefit of the probiotic.
Well, it sounds very healthy and very delicious. I can remember Dr. Wallach talking about it a few months ago. I think y'all said he had tried it at an expo or something that you had.
I brought in a packaged care box, you know, all frozen and well-packed so that he'd have a snack in the afternoon, because it's so many hours on his feet. So I brought it, and I was very complimented that he took 2 servings, because he usually doesn't double treat like that. So...
I can't wait to try
testimony.
It is. Now, I do have a couple of questions about your recipe, though. You said frozen avocado. Can you use fresh?
Yes, you can, but it helps set it as a really rich, fluffy ice cream if you pre-freeze the avocado.
Oh, okay. I got it.
Okay.
So
and
you just take the avocado and mash it up and freeze it before you use it.
Well, you don't even need to mash it up. It's so soft. All you have to do is cut it up in slices so it fits comfortably into the blender. And I usually stick it in a Ziploc bag and throw it in the freezer. And then when it's frozen, I'll take it out and mix up the ice cream. You do not taste avocado at all. You just taste very rich, velvety taste, you know, the texture.
Hmm.
I went ahead and added in like miniature little chocolate kisses, or you can add in, you know, crumbled nuts, whatever you like, and put a square of triple treat chocolate on top. It makes a beautiful dessert. And for Valentine's coming up, there's nothing better than a very rich, healthy chocolate dessert.
Yeah, we all love a chocolate. And I guess one of the things that strikes me, a lot of people I know shy away from avocados because they have the bad C word in it. They have cholesterol, and the same people would not be caught eating whipped cream. So now that we have shown through all these studies that heart disease and stroke risk is not associated with cholesterol, we can enjoy your delicious ice cream and not feel guilty.
Exactly. And what's so awesome is we do have organic whipping cream in the groceries now.
Oh, okay.
You can make your own condensed sweetened milk if you prefer honey and raw sugar, you know, the unrefined sugar, so that you can control what you're eating. You don't have to, you know, be satisfied with processed stuff. You can make it yourself if you think ahead. What's nice about the ice cream, it actually takes 2 minutes once it's in the blender, and then you put it in the freezer. So what's really nice is to make quite a few batches ahead of time. So that way you can make it a weekend project, and then you're set for the next 6 months.
Wow, that's a great idea. I like doing that. I'm not a I don't cook a whole lot anymore, so the idea of pre-preparing and having something in the freezer that I can just pull out and enjoy is a wonderful idea, especially something that's this healthy with all the antioxidants and all of the probiotics, and then some good healthy cholesterol to keep our levels where they should be. One of the things that we haven't talked about yet, we talked about what doesn't cause or increase our risk of heart disease and strokes, and that's cholesterol that does not increase our risk. But we haven't really talked about what to do about it. We said, well, it's associated with inflammation, but we haven't talked about, well, how can we naturally boost our health, decrease our risk of heart disease, and decrease our risk of stroke? I know Dr. Wallach would say, first off, we need the Mighty 90. We need those 90 essential nutrients, the 16 vitamins, the 12 amino acids, the 3 fatty acids, and the 61 minerals. In the case of heart disease, the omegas are really important. Is there anything that you could add to that, Sarah?
Yeah, the omegas in the essential fatty acids, the EFAs we like to call them, they prevent the actual buildup of the cholesterol in the veins and the arteries. So, you know, that's what creates like band-aids of cholesterol. Now, the other thing that's very important to prevent, like, bypasses and to get rid of it, to reverse it, is to take selenium, because the selenium keeps all the veins and the arteries very supple, very elastic, so that they stretch and pump the blood the way it should be. When that happens, the body doesn't need to steal cholesterol in order to create these cholesterol bandages, which are actually what people do the bypasses for. So when you're taking the Mighty 90, which includes the EFAs, and add in, for healthy people not under a crisis, you know, they don't have a heart mm-hmm. condition already, up to 3 selenium a day, 3 or 4. If they do have a crisis, you know, the doctor says, you know, you're 3/4 blocked, you know, or half blocked, and you really need to work on this, then you can up it to 6 selenium a day, okay? And what that does is it has extra copper in the selenium in our formula so that it gives your body more raw material for the elastin and collagen, which keep all of that blood pumping well and doesn't need cholesterol bandages where the blood vessels start rupturing, which is where we see a lot of times in the legs and the, you know, lower extremities, we see the varicose veins. Those are signs that the blood is pooling at the bottom because the veins aren't able to pump it back up. They're not elastic enough and supple enough to pump that blood back up.
Well, you mentioned copper being in with the selenium, and you mentioned taking three if you're healthy and maybe six if you're having issues related to heart disease. How much selenium is in each of your capsules? What kind of quantity are we talking about? Is it 200, I think, picograms? Is that the level that's in the capsules? I believe that's what I've read. And I guess the other thing that I've heard Dr. Wallach mention about the selenium is that taking 200 picograms a day has been shown in numerous studies to reduce your risk of cancer because it participates in the antioxidant cycle. It recycles the glutathione in your body, which is the antioxidant that helps get rid of the oxidants that can contribute to a cancer risk. So,
exactly.
That's
the other thing that Longevity carry that are very good for the heart is CardioSX. It also has extra herbs mixtures that support and promote healthy heart. They also, for blockages, they recommend people take the Ultimate Daily because there's a couple of herbs within it that help speed up getting rid of those blockages that create the need for a bypass. And, you know, all of us need to prevent these kind of things because nobody should go under the knife for these kind of things, especially when there's alternative methods that if people are religious about it and self-disciplined enough to take it every day, there's no need for these drastic, life-threatening treatments.
Exactly, and that's what we want to do is be healthy and not be concerned about having to have surgery or having to have a procedure or a pacemaker. We want to be able to have healthy hearts and healthy bodies and do it naturally by giving our bodies what it needs to be healthy and to repair itself. I'd like to share just a brief story of something that happened to me a couple of weeks ago. I went to my granddaughter's gymnastic meet, and we were sitting on those aluminum bleachers in a gym with a concrete floor, and I was walking down the bleachers, and I missed the step, and I fell. And I fell down three bleachers, so I was about between 4 and 5 feet up, and I took a nosedive onto the concrete floor. I did a belly flop on the floor. Landed on my chest, on my left side, I landed on my left knee, and then my forearm on my right hand hit the floor. And I did do some damage to my ribs, but I haven't had any knots. I haven't had one bruise on my body.
Wow.
And taking that kind of fall. And I'm just amazed that I don't even have any bruises. And that's when I realized that I used to get bruises all the time. People were always asking me where I got this or that bruise because I'm very active and I do a lot of like home remodeling things myself. And I have a very high tolerance of pain. And by the time the bruise would show up, I wouldn't have any idea where it came from. But I realized after taking this fall and not having any bruises that I haven't had any bruises in 4 years, maybe, since I've
been taking the Mighty 90 and the EFAs and all of these extra nutrients. So I'm just amazed.
Yeah.
I had to share that. I'm just amazed.
Yeah, I think what is amazing is when you're taking these high level of the basic nutrients that we all need, which is the Mighty 90, but adding all these extra antioxidants, it really keeps the body from damage. And you see that, you can testify that without getting bruised for such a hard fall, that the antioxidants are protecting you. So that is an awesome testimony. Now, I don't know if you thought of this, but there's a lot of people out there with racing heartbeats, irregular racing heartbeats. And Dr. Wallach's protocol is, of course, the Mighty 90, but also extra EFAs and high antioxidants. And that irregular heartbeat will start being regular. Just thought I'd mention that since we were talking about heart health.
Yeah, that's great to know, because there are a lot of people that have the irregular heartbeats, that arrhythmia, and it can be very debilitating because it makes you feel so bad. I have a couple of friends who have had this type of issue, and they just kind of have to drop out for a little bit until they recover. So that's good to know. And again, that I eat at least a couple of those Triple Treat chocolates every day, because they do have such a high level of antioxidants in them. So, you know, it's such a shame to have to eat chocolate to be healthy, isn't it?
Well, that is what is so awesome about Young Jesse items, is there is zero guilt in regards to that. And that is such an important thing to appreciate. You know, there's so many things that we could snack on that actually harm us, but with this, it actually protects us. And I think that's why you didn't have any bruising. Like I said, you were taking very high levels of antioxidants. So if it's 16,000 per square, and you're usually taking 3, so every day, just from the chocolates, not from the Mighty 90, because those also have antioxidant properties, you're getting
it's like 48,000 right there with the 3 chocolates.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So I'm trying to do the 100,000 a day that's recommended by Dr. Wallach and a lot of other people as well. That's a big number, but I'll probably get 80 anyway, 80,000. So
exactly,
that's a lot. Yeah, I'd like to take just a minute here to talk about next month's show, and then we can come back maybe to some other comments about the Healthy Hearts. But next month, the first Thursday is when we have our live show, and the first Thursday in March is March 7th. And so, again, we will be on the air live between 7 and 8 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 5 to 6, or 6 to 7 Central, 5 to 6 Mountain, and 4 to 5 Pacific Time. And our topic is going to be growing healthy food, healthy plants, and healthy animals. And one of the special guests next month is going to be Marvin Rock. Marvin travels across the United States helping farmers, helping organic farmers, and helping home gardeners to maximize the nutrition in what they're growing and to maximize their yield. He has amazing results with increasing yield with some of the products, some of the things that he's going to tell us about. So we're going to hear about not only healthy gardens or healthy farms, but we're also going to hear about healthy animals, both growing animals for food and our pets. Our pets are important to us. I have a cat, and most people have some sort of pet in their home, and we want them to be as healthy as we are. And so we're going to hear about how to help our pets be healthy just like us. So that's next month, Thursday, March 7th, here on BodyMindSpiritRadio.com. I hope you'll join me there. And I'm sure, Sarah, that I hope that you will be back with another one of your delicious and nutritious recipes. You'll have to find something that fits in with our healthy garden, healthy food theme. Although I think everything you've got us so far does.
I would love to give a recipe for our pet, you know, for like homemade dog biscuits with our products in it. So this is something that, again, you know, you can make batches of it and put it away. It doesn't need to be served all at once. So we can go over that, you know, pet biscuits, pet treats.
Oh, that would be great. I have lots of friends who'll be interested in those recipes and making healthy snacks for their pets. Right now, I would like to go back to our December show. Annette and I and you were talking about gluten-free diets, and we were going to try to talk about how to eat out healthily and eat out gluten-free and how difficult that can be sometimes. So I'm hoping that Annette will join us here, and we can have a little discussion for the remainder of the show on how to eat out and how to be gluten-free. One of the things that we need to be mindful of, even with heart disease, is if you have a gluten sensitivity, your body's not going to absorb the minerals that you need, and so you're going to be more prone to heart disease, stroke risk, or whatever else your body's nutrient diet is not able to absorb for your body. So that's an important factor for anybody who has a gluten sensitivity. So, Annette, are you on? Hello there.
I am. Hi, Martha, and hi, Sarah. I really love the fact, Sarah, I need to digress for a moment, that you spoke about the frozen avocado. If you can believe this or not, my doctor, who is a naturopath, who I saw just a few hours ago, said to me, did you know that you can freeze avocado? You just cut it and slice it and throw it in the freezer and then you can take it out and use it. And I was dumbfounded because I hate to waste avocado. And then here comes Sarah talking about this ice cream. Oh, you take the frozen avocado. And I'm thinking, oh, I love it. I just love it. This is great. So, yes, eating out and eating gluten-free. I do have to say that because I pay attention, maybe too much, but I really need to pay attention because it is something that I have a sensitivity to, is gluten, that when I eat out, I have three things that I require. The first is that it's someplace where I can find a food I can eat. The second is I know what goes into their food. And a lot of times I will go online and research a particular restaurant if they have their menu and then they have their ingredients and so forth, because I don't want to find out that they're using sauces from a can or they're using canned products such as condensed soups and things to make sauces or whatever. And then finally, I will choose things that I know they have to be cooked fresh, and I request them done a certain way, for instance, fishes. And I will make sure that this is a poached in water fish and not a poached in broth, because canned chicken broth has gluten in it, unless it states gluten-free. And there are very specific organic brands that are, and most of them aren't. But that's one of the big things that I do, is I do my research first so I'm not caught, shock, oh my goodness, can I eat anything here? And to know, really, you've got to start reading your labels in the supermarkets to know what products people are using in the restaurants, because a lot of these restaurants are getting their products from companies like Gordon Food Service, which I can walk into and you can walk into and purchase the items. They're the same items we find in the store. They're just in bigger sizes. That's all.
Right. Right. And I know another issue, that one of the things that my daughter does whenever we go out to eat, because I think I mentioned before, my granddaughter has a severe gluten sensitivity, and she always talks to the chef about the food so that she knows for sure that the chef understands. And she has restaurants that she frequents all the time, and the chefs know her and she knows them. So it's a lot easier to
to know that the foods are prepared where she doesn't have to worry about cross-contamination and some of the products. So like you say, I think the homework part of it is important, but also knowing that that the chef is aware of the issue. One of the statistics that I read a few months ago talked about that chefs in regard to allergies think that most of them think that it's overblown and it's not really as important to be concerned about. And if they've put a food item on a person's plate that that person is allergic to, that they can just take it off and give the person back the food, which for some people it's not a risk, but for most people it could be.
Exactly.
So, so education for the chef is important too.
And you want to find a place that offers a choice. That's huge. I mean, you know, you may not be able to run into the local, you know, insert name here, pizzeria with the gang, or the insert name burger joint with the gang, but you, as long as you're using the foods as fresh as they can be, like creating your own salad dressings, oil and vinegar, fresh herbs, things of this nature, you know, as long as you have some choices, you should be pretty okay, but the research is huge. That's how I manage. Plus, I eat rice noodles and things occasionally, and a lot of Chinese restaurants, you can ask, do you serve rice noodles, especially if it's a Thai restaurant? You can usually find some really good gluten-free options there. So you can be a little adventurous and not throw yourself into some sort of attack, and it'll work.
Yeah, I think also what's important besides the homework is, especially with children, I would pre-feed them at home so that they're not starving when you go to the restaurant for a special event, somebody's celebration, and then it becomes a point of tension because the child's hungry but it can't eat anything.
Exactly. Exactly. And also, too, if they're not going to be objecting to it, to maybe carry something with you like some grapes in a baggie, or because they're easy to eat, and if the child is of an age where they can, because I know at a certain age I wouldn't give a little teeny tiny child grapes, but something along that nature where it's inconspicuous, it'll give them a little energy because the grape, you know, will give them a little sugar, and it'll help keep them a little balanced so that they're not tanking energy-wise. But if you can even carry something with you, maybe it's some cheese or maybe some gluten-free crackers, there's a lot of good brands out there that you can find, and it'll help tide the child over if in fact, once you get there, there's still an issue. Because then if you've got a couple things with you, and I don't know, because I'm not as familiar with all the longevity products as you ladies are, is there actually like maybe a protein powder or something that they can take and then just mix with some water, you know, whether it's a child or an adult, that is gluten-free that they could have with them? Because really being prepared in addition to your homework is huge.
Yeah. There are some products that are gluten-free, and we can put a list of those on the Journeys in Wellness website.
Great.
But right now we are almost out of time, and I just want to mention again, I want to thank you, Sarah, for joining us again, and thank you, Annette, for your excellent suggestions about eating out and staying gluten-free. And then I want to invite everyone to come back next month, Thursday, March 7th, for Growing Healthy Food, Healthy Plants and Healthy Animals. That's between 7 and 8 Eastern Time. If you're in the Southeast Michigan area, I would love for you to come to our local meetings at Crazy Wisdom Bookstore in downtown Ann Arbor. We also have other meetings in other areas. If you want to go to the website and look those up, you can also call 877-470-6355 with your questions or request for more information, or again visit the Journals in Wellness Facebook page or the BodyMindSpiritRadio.com website. So thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks, Sarah and Annette. And y'all have a wonderful evening and a great February.
Good night, everybody.
Yes. Good night.